Welcome to Calvary Chapel, everyone. It's Wednesday, right? It's the middle of the week. We need to be in His Word, right? We got to get through the week.
Every day.
And tomorrow we're going to be thankful. Well, today we're thankful, right? Because do we have to work tomorrow?
No.
So are you thankful for that? Well, there's something to be thankful for. Amen. We are cruising through with no stopping in the Psalms, and we're in Psalm 26 tonight. It's exciting times. 26, a Psalm of David. All right. Give you a chance to get there, and we will read through the Psalm, and then we'll pray. Ready, set, go. David is speaking. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart before my eyes. Your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Amen. We're in the congregations tonight. You ready to bless the Lord? To bless the Lord with your open ears. Amen to that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We're so thankful that we can be here tonight, Lord. We are thankful, Lord, that it is a good day, and it's your day that you've made for us. Lord, you knew each and every one of us would be here tonight. And Lord, you know what we're in need of even before we ask. So, Lord, I ask that you would just help us with our conditions of our mind and our hearts, and Lord, that you would change us, even from this very teaching, Lord, that you would stir something in us, Lord, that would make us want to just stick on the path and stay with you and give you praise all the day long, Lord. I just ask that you would just be with all of us here tonight as you anoint me to be able to teach this psalm, Lord, in the way you want me to teach it, Lord. And I thank you so much for what you're doing in all of our lives, Lord. It's just a great time we have in you, Lord. Just be blessed here tonight, Lord. And we just pray this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So this psalm is kind of starts a new section. Before we were in the kind of the kingly psalms or the Jesus shepherd psalms in 22, 23, and 24. And we did 25 last time. And this time we're going to be in 26, 27, and 28 is kind of a three psalm section, which reveals David's love for the sanctuary. And it's mentioned in 26, 27, and 28. Which was the tabernacle in Mount Zion at the time. God did not permit David to build the temple. You can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. But God did give him the plans for the temple and the accumulation of materials to build it and constructing it. From the battle booty that he would get from winning wars and getting all the stuff, and he would just hold on to it and put it in the building site for his son Solomon. Solomon was the one who was going to build the temple, but David had a lot to do with it. As in the days of David's kingship and before, even today, in this very age that we live in, not all who gather in the church or in the sanctuary were sincere in their walk or their worship. Some were openly disobedient, dirty hands, and some were secretive with a dirty heart. They talked garbage, they talked rumors, lies, falsehood, a lot of hypocrisy going on, etc. The list is a big one. You know, we're all sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we're all but flesh. We all know that. David, as most of us all know, was a man after God's own heart. There was a conviction of his wrongdoings and a continual ridicule of him amongst his people. It seems David was always trying to clear his name. So David went deep within himself to boldly ask God to reveal anything, anything that may be in himself that was not pleasing to God. This was his situation that led King David to compose this song. Say it kind of a lot in these Psalms, but it was a big traumatic event in David's life when his son Absalom went against him. Absalom, a big long story, but he tried to take and did take for a time David's throne. He did. Ran David out of town. David just said, left. Went over the brook and see you later. And this was, you know, in taking over the throne, I could just imagine that Solomon or Absalom was just ridiculing him and talking garbage about his dad the whole time. And this, you know, David kind of took it personal, like, what did I do, right? And so when you're unsure of yourself, it's really good to know, you know, I've walked in my integrity, I've done this, I've done that, I've done all that I can do, but there's got to be something that I missed because everybody's on my tail. I don't know what's going on. I feel that way sometimes. You try to do something good, you have a conversation with somebody, and then you're the bad guy all of a sudden. Does that happen to you? Yeah, it happens to me too, all the time. So David makes three requests to the Lord, which these are great requests, to vindicate me, to examine me, and to redeem me. Three very cool things. I think that's great. Verse 1, he starts out with, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip." What a confidence he has there. But vindicate means to clear my name. You know, that's what your lawyers try to do when you go to court, right? Clear my name, make sure everything's cool. Give me justice, defend my reputation. In our walk with the Lord, you know, it has its ups and downs and ins and outs, and we walk the line and walk the walk in the Spirit the best that we can. But someone or something is always trying to knock us down or make us slip off course. Satan's good at that, get us sidetracked. I don't like that. It can be our fault. Maybe we trip on a branch and fall down, and we trip on something and fall short of the glory of God because we didn't see it. Others can attempt to knock us down, but you know, we're in that race. We're in that race as Paul described, right? We're running that race, and some people, the hypocrites do go to church, and some people are running the race for themselves, maybe for the wrong reason. They don't see Jesus at the end of the race waving the checkered flag, right? Come on, you can finish, it's okay. Some people are in it for the wrong reason. It is important to walk and live a blameless life. It is crucial to pray to God for His integrity and His uprightness, even when our walk might seem okay. If I look over at the page at Psalm 25, verses 20 and 21, it kind of caught my eye. Keep my soul and deliver me. This is David speaking also. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. How many of you are waiting on the Lord in faith to just build more integrity and more uprightness in your life? I am. I don't want to give up on that. The people attacking David were disassemblers. They were hypocrites. They were play actors. They would put masks on their face like they do in the theater. You see the two masks sometimes in a theater? They're just playing along, and they put the masks on to cover up their evil character, what's truly behind that. Integrity, though, means a wholeness of character, not playing around, having an undivided mind and heart completely devoted to the Lord without wavering. As we look at the last verse in this psalm, my foot stands in an even place in the congregations. I will bless the Lord. A nice even place. In our maintenance and exercising our integrity, ask and allow the Holy Spirit. Ask and then allow. I'm going to say that twice. You ask Him and then wait. Allow Him. Let Him examine you. Let Him examine your mind, your heart, your soul, your footsteps, everything about you. God does not miss anything because He made you and He wrote a book of your life anyway. Psalm 139, verse 6 would say, I'm going to paraphrase, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned before me, before the days were even made. He knew. He knows exactly. I've been really thinking about this. He knew I was going to go through this situation before I went through this situation. Before the days were even created. Wow. That's pretty amazing. But David asked the Lord to vindicate him. Please, Lord, you're my advocate, right? 1 John chapter 2, I believe that's the beginning of that. We have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus. He's our lawyer. He's our stand-in. He's the one that sticks up for us. He's the one that vindicates us. And when He does that day in and day out, doesn't it cause you to trust Him even more and to build your faith up? Because He just reveals Himself as the truth more and more every day. He just gets more real and more real every day. So our feet don't slip. What a confidence we can have in the Lord. So vindication. Vindication is important. And also, in verse 2, the second thing, is to examine me, Lord. Oh, what a brave prayer that can be. I remember asking the Lord into my heart. And I asked Him, it was a daring prayer. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. Lord, I accept your deal. I believe that you're Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life. But examine me. Change me. That's a daring prayer. If you guys are going through something, I go through stuff all the time. I got a pretty good thing going on with the Lord and with life. But I ask the Lord to still change me because I'm not perfect. I waver back and forth. I'm a double-minded man and a double-hoofed man. I will be until I'm with Him in glory. He's sanctifying me every day, but I struggle and you struggle. So just ask the Lord to reveal that because, as I said, you know, that's why we ask Him to examine us, is because we're going to miss something. If we examine ourselves, we're totally going to miss it because we're just full of pride. And David had his ups and downs too. He murdered people. He lied. He didn't do his kingship when he should have done it. He's done a whole bunch of things. But he was a man after God's own heart. And this is what really helps. Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test me, Lord. Try my mind and my heart. You know, that is really cool. It's not an expression here of self-righteousness, but of honest testimony of a real man of God. He's not being prideful, like I've kept your ways and I'm walking in your integrity. He doesn't mean to be full of pride there. He's just telling me he's really trying the best he can. Examine and prove me. Try me. Refer to the testing here. When David is referring to that testing, it's a testing like somebody, a lab person, a tech, would be testing metals to determine of the true value of that metal and to remove the dross. If there's anything junky in me, take it away. Let me know what it is so I can deal with it with you, Lord. In Psalm 12:6, the Word of God does this. It purifies us. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of the earth. Purified 7 times. God's Word is perfect and it is pure. 7 means perfection. And also, in Psalm 17, if you want to write that down or turn with me there, it's just a couple pages away. David has been tested before. This isn't his first time. Whether he asked for the examination or God just tested him. That kind of comes our way, doesn't it? We're going through a test and we don't know sometimes. But 17:2-5 would say, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me, and you have found nothing," and that means nothing evil. "I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip." So he's been tested before. He's been there. Here's a self-examination note. If you look at others, you will be disappointed. If you look at yourself for too long, you'll think that there's probably nothing wrong with you because of your pride. But if you look closer, you're going to be distressed and depressed because you'll be revealed truly who you are. But if you look at Jesus, you're going to be blessed. If you look at him, you will be blessed. So focus on the Lord. Focus on the mirror of God's word, the reflection right back at you. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Focus on the Lord in the word of God and match your defects to his perfections. And cling and claim what you need in him and from him. Amen. Chapter 23:26, verse 3. "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." There he is again. Very confident in that the Lord's loving kindness is before his eyes. And that's great, because loving kindness is his love in action. And it's right in front of his eyes. It's right in front of you and me in every step we take, in every turn, even when we step backwards or sideways, maybe even off the path for a time. God is there. You can't run from God. You cannot hide from his love. We've been in Romans. We were recently in Romans chapter 8 during the Sunday services. And here's a question. Who's going to separate us from the love of God, from his love? Neither death or life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or future things, height, depth, or any other created thing can separate us from his love, which is in. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you're wondering why there's Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ, when it's put there in the New Testament, Christ Jesus means the risen Lord. He is risen again. He's not here anymore. He's not Jesus Christ. He is Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. He is above all, and he is the one who needs to examine us. His loving kindness is right before our eyes. I like that. When his loving kindness, and we see his love in action and experience that in our life, the Holy Spirit gives us a hunger and a thirsting after his word to live our lives by it. I have walked in your truth. He has walked in God's word. God has sanctified David as he has us. He has set us apart from Satan, from the world, and from the flesh of our past. As we look up on the screen, we shared this on Saturday morning at the men's breakfast. It was quite an awesome time. In John 17:17, sanctify them, separate them. Jesus is praying for his disciples at this point. Separate my disciples by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You see, it was important for Jesus to separate himself, as in being crucified on the cross and being buried and being risen on the third day and getting out of here, so he could send the Holy Spirit to his disciples so they could be sanctified and give the truth to a lost and dying world. Do you guys get that? It was very important. He said, it is utmost important that I leave so I can give you the Holy Spirit. When we walk in his truth, we can see his love right before our eyes. Sanctification causes us to walk in his integrity, not ours. There's a lot of testings going on, you know, when he's examining us. Whether it's through a trial or a testing, you know, the sanctification, it hurts sometimes when we're in the flesh and we have a habit or we've been doing something. It's hard to break that habit. And when we ask God to examine us and we figure out what it might be, even though we probably know all along what it is, it hurts. It hurts not to gratify the flesh anymore, but it takes patience, right? And there's a question. I have a lot of questions and answers, and I think we can answer some of the questions I ask here. I was asking the Lord. And when does this testing and trial, when am I going to see your joy again? You know, what's up with that? It's tough. So as we go to James chapter 1, we can read about that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testings, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and allow and let patience have its perfect or mature work in you, that you may be perfect and mature and complete, lacking nothing. It hurts to come from the dark into the light, but it's well worth it because God isn't finished with you or me yet. Is that an amen on that? Is he finished with you? No, he's not finished with you at all or me. Does it bring us joy? I'm going to answer the question. Yes, It does bring us joy, but we need to let the testing have its perfect patience. David is confident and he's full of courage, as we can be, no matter what the examination or test is that is needed in us. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Now in verse 5, as we continue on, it kind of switches gears a little bit, and David's just telling the Lord what he's done and what he hasn't done. And it says here, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. So he's saying here, in the past, I have not, that's past, sat with idolatrous mortals. And then he's talking about the future. Nor will I ever go in with the hypocrites. That means coming to church, coming to the tabernacle. We all come to church. We all come to the tabernacle. But there are certain people, sometimes, that go to church that are hypocrites, that aren't walking the walk. And David doesn't want to be mixed up with those people. He keeps his distance from those people. He doesn't want to deal with that at all. I'm not even going to go in with them. I'm not even going to deal with it. And then in verse 5, I've hated the assembly in the past. I've hated it. I've hated the assembly of evildoers. People come to church, they do evil when they go back out. I don't like it. I hate it. I will not sit with the wicked. When I go in, I'm going to sit with my family. I'm going to sit with those people that are pressing into the Lord. I'm not going to get caught up in them. I hope they get saved. I hope they get something happening with the Lord. We need to pray for people. People struggle. I understand that. Don't mean to be too critical. But I've been to churches. I'm not saying that really happens here. But where people are living openly in sin. It's not like it's a secret. You know what I mean? And the thing about, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. But when you're living in it and everybody knows it, it's not good. And we just need to pray that people have a conviction like David did, to examine themselves. We all need to examine ourselves. But David here is talking about going into the house of the Lord, going up to the holy hill, going in to have fellowship with the Lord and to pray and to grow. Verse 5, he just hates that. He hates going in and seeing all this happen. Do not associate yourself too closely with the fruitless works of evil. The danger is here that our roots, you know, we don't have heavy fellowship with them. You say hi, pray for them, but if you hang out with the wrong crowd too long, I just see as we are trees in the scripture. We are like trees planted by the water. You've heard the song. And our roots can get entangled in one another. And pretty soon we might be swaying the other way. It's very easy to get off track and be enticed by evildoers. It just happens sometimes. It's called backsliding, right? Maybe you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But it is important not to associate and have too close of a relationship with them. There's the tares, and then there's the wheat. You know, there's wolves in sheep's clothing. God says, let the tares and the wheat grow together. God's not going to pluck it up and separate it right now. He wants us all to grow together. So maybe we can rub off and cross-pollinate, you know, and make it all good again. But there's going to be a day when God comes back and he's going to throw all the tares and all the worthlessness and all the unfruitfulness into the fire. And that is really a whole other message. There is going to be a day We need to be up on what God is doing in our lives. And here's a really cool scripture. We go all the way back to Psalm 1, and this is what it is like. When we are outside of the church, no matter when we're in the gates, when we're out in the world doing our business, this is what David said, another Psalm of David. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And I'm going to continue. He shall be like a tree, we talked about that, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do, you will prosper. What doesn't matter whether you walk, whether you stand, or whether you sit, be in his word. Do not hang out with the ungodly, or those who leave God out of the picture, or in the path of sinners, those who miss the mark and don't walk after him, and those who sit in the seat of the scornful, those who oppose and hate God. Those all those little things mean. And then when you're at home, when you're at home, you need to be in his word too. In Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. All these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So, we need to discuss with our kids, with our family, with our friends. I don't just think it's for kids anymore. I think it's for everybody because we're all kids. We're God's kids. At home, whether you sit, whether you walk, whether you lie down, and when you rise up, be in his word. It will help you. You will be able to see the examination. You'll be able to see the vindication that the Lord brings your way. Verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. Whole thing is here, is when you wash your hands, you're repenting. He's on his way up. He's going, he wants to go in and about the altar in the tabernacle in Zion. He wants to go about the altar, which would be the altar of incense, of prayer. But the first thing that you hit before you go in the tabernacle, would be the brazen altar, where you give yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. This is what happens when you go about the altar. And then you go to the laver, and you wash your hands. And then after that, you can go to the outer veil, and you can go into the holy place to where the candlestick is, which is the light of the word. And you can go into the table that was in there, that's the to break bread and have fellowship, and go to the golden altar where the incense was burned, where you can pray to the Lord. These are all really good things to do, to be able to do that, to wash your hands and to go in. So I can go about your altar, O Lord. And why does he want to go into his altar? There's a question. I have the answer. And the answer is in the word itself. He wants to go about the altar that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of your wondrous works. Verse 7. To proclaim, it means to publish and to worship, to tell God how wonderful he is and of all the wonderful things he does, what he's doing, and what he is going to do. His attributes and his qualities are to be voiced with thanksgiving. Amen? I'm so thankful for the Lord. And then we, you know, it just so happens, we said that word thanksgiving quite a bit tonight. And it just so happens that if you guys don't know, and all of you, guys and gals, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So let's turn to Psalm 100. This is the Thanksgiving Psalm. Well, I think it's the Thanksgiving Psalm. It works for me. And I just want to read a couple verses here in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Can you say that with me? The Lord is good. Amen. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. David was such an enthusiastic worshiper, wasn't he? As we read about David worshiping, he brought the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving because he loved the Lord and he loved going to church. He loved going into the tabernacle. Why does he love the church? I love the house where you live, the place where your glory abides. He loves going to church. He loves going up to the tabernacle because that's where God is. God is everywhere, but you can really see God's evidence is in his people. When you come to when I come to church, I can see the change that he does to my brothers and sisters when they've gone through something and God has conquered it, or God has examined somebody and tested them and they've come out with flying colors. I come to church and see that, and I really go, wow, your glory dwells here because it dwells in your people. The testimony of the Lord dwells in his people. And I think that that is fascinating and it's awesome. So he goes to church. I have loved the habitation, verse 8, of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Lord, I have loved it. I love coming to church too. I really look forward to coming and seeing what's going on and worshiping him. David glorifies God at the place where God's glory dwells. David is a good example, an excellent example for us to follow when it comes to to worship and to our own worship. As we switch gears again in verse 9, this is kind of a tough one. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinner's scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. Yeah, like I said, kind of a tough one. It's just that David doesn't want God to be confused when it's David's time to go home and be with the Lord. Because there is a lot of distractions out there, right? And the way I kind of look at this is it's not a good idea for me to really be playing music. And I've been asked quite a bit, like, to play in bars, okay? Because I'm a Christian musician, and I don't want God to come back, even though he knows my heart, and see me playing in a bar. Do you guys kind of follow me there? I don't want to be mistaken, and I don't want you to gather up my soul with sinners. Because he's what? We read about that in John. He sanctified me and set me apart by his word. He's made me a born-again person. I am different, even though I'm a lot the same as than I was in the past. I've always been a pretty nice, cool guy, right? And good-looking. But, you know, I have a conviction now when I am wrong. I never did before. Sometimes I did. But on the most part, no, I don't think so. But I just don't want the Lord does he get confused? No, he doesn't get confused. But I don't want to take that chance. It's just the way it is. Because as I go back to Psalm 1, and I'm just going to finish Psalm 1. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6, and this might kind of explain what I'm trying to say. The ungodly are not so. They're not like tree planted by the water, right? They're like a chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't want to be confused with that. The godly must constantly be aware of evil and the influences of the world around us, especially of those who profess to love God. But sometimes they use their religion to cover up their sins. They're not the real deal. To maintain faithful, we must ask God to be merciful to us and to help us to maintain our integrity. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. Their right hand, all the power that they have is just to scheme their way to the top. If you see a right hand in Scripture, it means the power and authority. Jesus sits at God's right hand. Jesus is God's supreme authority. Amen? So they just sit there and bribe everything. You know what? You can bribe each other. You can bribe man, but you can't bribe God. You can't. He knows the real deal inside of you. He does. But David turns to himself and he says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. I will walk in the integrity that you give me. Not in my integrity, because it's going to be terrible. But I'm going to walk in the integrity that you give me. Redeem me and be merciful to me. Even when you do blow it, God, your mercy is awesome. You don't give me what I do deserve. I deserve to be separated from you with all the garbage that I even think, let alone of what I do. But God's mercy is overwhelmingly awesome. And we take it for granted. I believe I take it for granted. I'll put myself in that boat. Be merciful to me. Help me, Lord, not to waver. You know, I want to stand firm. Even when you examine me. And when I go through all this testing and these trials, Lord, I don't want to slip. I want to stay on the mountaintop with you. You know, I'm journeying upward to your tabernacle. I've washed my hands in your laver. I have clean hands and a pure heart to stand in your holy place. Psalm 24:3, who may stand in the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in your holy place? Those who have a clean hands and a pure heart, and who have not lifted up their soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully, taken bribes. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I want to stand, Lord. I don't want to waver. 1 Corinthians 10:12 would say this, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed and be careful, lest you fall. Got to be careful. But David, again, is confident because he's asking the Lord to do all this for him. Verse 12, my foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless you. You know, my feet are planted on even ground, is the Jewish translation to that. My feet are planted like a tree, right? On even ground. Question, where do your feet stand? This is a question I cannot answer. You have to answer that question for yourself. Where does your feet stand? Are you slip sliding away, just like, I think that's a Paul Simon song, right? Slip sliding away. Are you slipping all around? Woo! There's many scriptures. Look up slip in your Strong's. You don't want to slip away. You want to be standing firm like you do when you're playing football and you're a lineman like I was. You want to have your feet shoulder length apart, and I want to stand in that even place in the congregation of the Lord. I want to be confident. I want to be secure. I want to be not prideful, but yet I want to be confident in the Lord. Those things can be mistaken sometimes, especially in my life. I'm just confident in the Lord. Don't mean to be prideful, arrogant. My feet stands in an even place. I let it all hang out to the Lord. I ask Him to help me, to examine me. I just want to be a blessing to Him because, boy, I remember what it was like and how far the Lord's brought me. How far has He brought you? A long ways. You were slip sliding away, right? Like me? And now you're in a pretty secure spot? I think that's wonderful. Let's see, I'm cruising over the page 2711. I like this one. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. And I just love this, and we're going to end with one more scripture, and it would be in Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Have a changed heart. Double blessing. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So this is kind of like talking about Jesus, John the Baptist, prepared the way for the Lord. But I'm looking at this scripture today is my heart condition to the Lord. Like I'm going to prepare the way for God to come into my heart and change me even more. Make straight in the desert that dry place in my heart. The dust blowing in the wind. It's just dusty. And a highway. I want to make straight in the desert a highway for my God. I want to get my heart ready for Him to come in and do His business. Every valley, every dark place shall be exalted to His light, and every mountain and hill, all the pride, that mountaintop experience and the pride and sin, and the hill will be brought low. Everything is going to be brought up, the darkness, the pride, the sin's going to be brought low, and all those crooked little places that we have in my life shall be made straight. And the rough places smooth. Oh boy, when you ask the Lord to examine you, what happens? He knocks off all those rough edges, doesn't He? And that hurts. That's not easy. He wants to make your rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it. All flesh is going to see it together. Everybody, when you go through your testing, and I go through my testing, and all of us, and He's knocking off the rough edges, guess what? People are going to see the world, and your brothers and sisters, but the world is going to see what God has done, because they're going to say, what happened? And you're going to say, Jesus, because I asked Him to, and I allowed Him to. I got into the rock tumbler, and He knocked off all the edges, and I'm shining now. I'm going to be okay. All flesh shall see it all together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I hope He's spoken to you tonight as He did me. We're all tired, fumbling and mumbling. You know, we might be slip sliding. Kind of feel that way right now. But I know spiritually my foot stands in an even place in the congregation of the Lord because I'm with all you guys. Are we planted in the rivers of water today? Amen. Brother says he is. All right. Hope you guys are. All right. As the worship team comes up, and I guess I'm part of that, we are going to give praises to God as David did, because we love the habitation of the house of the Lord. Amen. Father God, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for the vindication you give us. We thank you for the testings that you give us, Lord. We thank you for the mirror of your word that helps us, Lord, to know what to do. And as we look into the water of the word, Lord, we can see your reflection day by day come more clear and clearer every day, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And that you've set us apart to be here tonight, and you've set us apart to be there tomorrow, Lord, that we could be shining as lights in this world that we live in, Lord. Just bless us as we go our separate ways, Lord, and help us to stand and to be secure in who we are in you, though, not in ourselves, but in you, Lord. Just bless us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.